is that are accepting public people to come inside?
George, the question you're asking are so profound in the interest of the country. Mm. And let me explain why. If all public buildings are tested, consumers or the building industry will sanitize itself. Mm. In so doing, just this question, if we follow the actions that should be done in doing structural integrity testing, you are looking at a minimum of 50,000 jobs in the building and construction sector. I have the figures.
Mm.
Because the law requires that before you even start your building, we do the soil testing.
Mm.
Now, every single builder in this country, be it an individual or government, will be happy to know, because the total cost of testing for a building is less than 1% the entire cost of the building.
Interesting. But let's come to another interesting thing. And I know it's always been an argument back and forth. Standardization when it comes to food, the olonka, the bowl of kinki, the hausa kuku and all the rest. Help me, what is the latest when it comes to the standards, the olonka, which has always been a controversial thing when it comes to that thing that is used to measure corn, millet, cereals and all the rest. And we'll move into that bowl of kinki and the porridge as well. What is the latest when it comes to the standardization for the food, the olonka?
So we have two standards. We have the standard for the weights and measures,
yeah,
and the standard for the product.
Mm.
The standard for the product are those enforced by the Food and Drugs Authority.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to say that by collaborating with FDA and giving joint approvals, we have solved that problem.
Mm.
The issues of weights and measures, and George, this is where you roast me, because I'm the custodian of weights and measures by law. Mm. The Gazette was published last year, where I'm directed by the Minister for Trade and Industry, by law, as required by law, to be the one who gives guidance and direction on weights and measures. So any failure on weights and measures will fall
on my
head.
Are you doing that? Are you doing that?
I have started. If you ask me how well have I done it, my answer will be that in some sectors, we are on top of it. In some sectors, on the markets, we haven't done anything. When I say we haven't done
what
anything,
has happened?
We have engaged the market.
Very controversial about the thing that is used to measure cereals, and they popularly called the olonka.
Yeah.
So people were digging in and searching.
Yeah. So last year, when the markets of Ghana, when Agglomeration, all the markets we've been to Techiman, what we have done as a first phase is to sensitize market women as to how they make more money if they trade according to a standardized weight. An olonka of gari roughly is between 1.9 and 2.1 kilograms.
Mm.
But most gari is sold as 1 kilogram. If they would have a standard, and in discussions with government, what we are hoping to do very shortly is to give them a standardized olonka. Because if that is the measure they use in the market, how do you provide one? Clearly, it's not going to be a thin one which can be bashed.
Yeah.
It may have to be a reinforced plastic one so that you cannot bash it.
Mm.
In so doing, you are looking at the olonka and the gari and seeing that if this were gari, because it will be different, the grain size will be different. And based on the size of the grain, the same olonka cannot weigh, I mean, the olonka that weighs 2 kilogram gari will not be the same olonka.
What should be the standard measurement for the olonka that weigh, that thing that is used? What should to be the, what is the standardized weight or measurement for it that people are bashing in and reducing and all those things?
I would like Ghanaian consumers to know that as far back as 1975, the laws of Ghana says that anything which is sold or which is supposed to be sold by weight or measure should be sold by weight or measure. Let me break it down.
Mm.
When you are buying grains, they should be sold by weight.
Mm.
Because the volume is very deceptive. The weight is what matters. And because if the thing has too much water, you can have the same quantity, but one will be lighter than the other. Because the drier it is, the more corn you have in it.
Yeah.
So the laws of Ghana are clear on the vocal. It should be sold by weight. And 1 kilogram is 1 kilogram wherever you go.
Mm.
Ideally, and we have been approached by a very big group in Ghana trying to provide weighing scales for all the markets.
Mm.
So that the scales where you have a weight which is 1 kilogram, you put it on one side and you balance it. Some of the butchers and co use it.
Mm.
We are going to introduce that. Mm. That is one side. But the laws also say that whatever should be sold by volume, liquids especially, should also be sold by volumes.
Mm.
Now, the challenge we have is, one, consumers are not aware that when they go to buy, whether it's gari or anything, they can demand of the seller that Act 1078 says that if you are selling gari, it should be weighed. You don't use your eyes to guess. Because the aim of the law is to protect consumers. And Regional Association, what's his name? Capito.
Yeah.
He's been coming here and fighting me literally because consumers are not being protected. Mm. I have to admit that in terms of weights and measures, the consumers we are giving, the protection we are giving consumers, apart from being on the petrol stations, in most other sectors, currently is lacking. It's only December this year, December 2023, that we inaugurated Ghana's first ever electricity meter testing station. So we now have a meter testing station where we are seeing that from the 1st of May, if you have any, in fact, even today, if you have any disputes, because people say I buy two CDs, it's one CD, I buy, just inform the PURC, the meter will be brought to us to test. Because you see, the laws on weights and measures are designed for only one thing.
So what we're talking about that meter, so in the past, where were we independently verifying the efficacy, if I can use that in quote, or the efficiency of the metering that we're using in our homes? And now you have the system in place to verify how good that meter is when it comes to reading these units.
To protect consumers on everything, whether it is the data you use on your MTN or everything. Every country had a trades office, which ensures that the measurements for buying and selling are fair. Because the good book even says that the Lord hates an unjust scale. So every country has, we call it a weights and measures office. In Ghana is the GSA. And what we are supposed to do, and I use the word supposed, is to make sure that we have a system for measuring electricity. So that when they say one CD gives you 10 kilowatts or whatever it is, when you get 10 kilowatts, you know that you are paying one CD for it. One, consumers were not aware that what you are paying should be due to a certain amount of electricity. So if you buy 10 CDs, it gives you a certain amount. Now, if you have not consumed that amount, your 10 CDs should not disappear. It is to protect consumers, and it's to ensure that buying and selling is fair. In the past, we've almost even been aware, let alone assert our rights. Now we have a lab for electricity. We are working quickly to get a one for water and also for your data. So that when your data goes quick, you can ask that, Master. Now we don't have it. The NCA will tell you.
So still on the bid on the electricity as well. So then how is it going to be done from the 1st of May? Do I physically bring my meter here to ensure that if I had bought 20 units or maybe 500 units or 500 Ghana cedis on this meter, I'm getting value for money?
But the public will be interested to know that the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission, PURC, receives complaints and is happy to receive complaints by WhatsApp, email, on any suspicion of these sort of challenges. When it's sent to the PURC, it's brought to the Standards Authority since December. So admittedly, it's a latter-day saint issue. So that we can verify. Previously, the ECG or the utility companies we're going to do a factory acceptance test and say the meter is okay. But for consumer protection, every single meter needs its own car number or meter number. And we have a database which keeps it so that when there is a dispute, because all over the world, disputes occur in weights and measures because equipment can be faulty. So our job is to be make sure. And in fact, the Public Utilities Regulation, LI-2413, says that every single meter using public utilities should be calibrated and tested by the GSA. And we now have a short code that from the 1st of May we release to the public.
I know the debate will still go on, Prof. And Professor Alex Todu, he is the Director General of the Ghana Standards Authority. I know the debate will still go on in your homes and your offices on how we can make the authority and the standardization in Ghana here today more business and industry friendly. My name is George Yafi. This has been PM Express Business Edition. Have a great day.
live from our studios here in Accra. This is Midday News. This is live on DSTV channel 421 and GoTV channel 125 and around the world on myjoyonline.com. Coming up this hour, government performance tracker suffers a major setback 48 hours after its official launch, with some 67 entries wrongly itemized as executed on the platform.
We will go into them. Just maybe monies have been paid behind the scene for no work done, and we are incurring a lot of costs that we can't feel it on the ground.
Also, political marketing expert declares Vice President Bawumia's stance on LGBTQ contradictory and late in coming. We bring you more. And former Member of Parliament for Ejoso, Kobina Owusu Eduemi, to go independent at the Ejoso constituency. Details as he expresses concern over voter album there. Now we have business, sports, and showbiz in the next 60 minutes. Please stay with us. Thank you so much for choosing us. Let's take you straight to the Ashanti region, where the former Member of Parliament for Ejoso constituency, Kobina Owusu Eduemi, says he will contest the vacant Ejoso seat as an independent candidate. The declaration comes a day ahead of the new Patriotic Party's primary to elect a candidate for the upcoming by-election. A press release from the camp of the former MP ascribes the decision to sever ties with the party to what they claim to be the reluctance of the party to deal with crucial concerns with the voter album. And further points to flaws in the election process for polling station executives, claiming the deceased MP, with the help of regional executives, handpicked some persons for key positions. A to the former Member of Parliament, Nana Osebonso, spoke to my colleague, Sweetie Abochi, earlier on the decision to sever relations with the party.
The polling station executive in elections in Ejoso was not done in accordance with what the general practice has been. We woke up one early morning to the news that people had been selected to fill polling station executive position. We protested, but the party would simply not hear or give us hearing. And so the matter eventually found its way into court. And as we speak, the issue is still pending. And so it is surprising that the party has not made any effort for even reconciling the aggrieved members of it, but then proceeding to conduct primaries when they knew that there are pertinent issues to be addressed. This decision is even in response to calls by constituents. If you even come here and conduct an opinion poll, we find out that almost everybody is calling for his comeback. And so it is in response to that call. So we are more than confident. We have an exceeding confidence that we win this election.
So as it stands, there's no relationship at all with the New Patriotic Party.
Exactly. He's contesting on an independent ticket.
Okay.
The schedule for election has been released. Now the process is still ongoing. I think nomination forms will be filed from next week. I think from 16th or so. I'm not too sure. But for now, we are doing the paperwork. We hit the ground running very soon.
Now, a member of Parliament's Public Accounts Committee has given indication that the minority in Parliament will be requesting an independent probe into government performance tracker. The website, which is an updated version of Dr. Bawumia's delivery tracker, was expected to provide factual, reliable, and accurate information on the status of some 13,000 geolocated infrastructure projects being implemented by government. However, just 48 hours after the commissioning of the website, management of the performance tracker says its attention has been drawn to 67 entries which were wrongly included, plus some other anomalies that have been addressed. Social media posts from the performance tracker team read, and there you have it on your screen. They have been commenting on this particular issue, saying they will come and see how they can address it. Meanwhile, the minority in parliament is already wading into the newly launched performance tracker. Now, a member of the Public Account Committee and member of parliament for Buem constituency, Kofi Adam, says his side of the house will be demanding an independent probe into the performance tracker, which was supposed to give account on verified projects. He also claims that government has paid some contractors when their own tracker reveals work is not complete.
Into them, just maybe monies have been paid behind the scene for no work done. And we are incurring a lot of costs, but we can't feel it on the ground. So when you hear that our debt has risen, but we look around us and we can see the development, what may be happening is that MPP officials are paying monies to themselves for no work done.
So is that to suggest that in Parliament you'll be asking the Speaker to probe some of these claims that government?
Sure, we will be asking for a lot of things to be probed. Based on what has happened at Public Accounts Committee, where we found these heavy and huge payments for no work done, we will be asking for a lot more things to be probed, especially projects they have declared percentage completion, when we know on the ground that no such thing have happened. We have to follow the funding source and to find out how much has been paid the contractor or claimed to have been paid to the contractor.
How about the claim that the platform can be updated? It's a live platform. So
well, we were told that they have placed only verified projects with geolocation. So it means we have ministers who cannot be trusted. We have ministers who can lie out there. We have ministers whose words we must not take serious, because that is what we were told, that verified, that the projects have been 13,000 projects verified with geolocation. So how come something verified now happens not to be what is it? So who did the verification? Or what is the meaning of verified project? Unless it has a different meaning for MPP people, we have to teach them a lesson this year. Then they will know that Ghanaians are no fools.
And very finally, they are comparing this to the Green Book and the fact that the Green Book was filled with deception as compared to this.
Till now, they have not been able to pinpoint anything in the Green Book that is false. But we have been able to pinpoint the 2020 delivery tracker and now 2024 performance tracker, all the deceptions in them. They should pick the Green Book. Is a book. We knew that what we were placing in there were genuine projects. It's not for anyone to go and say, I'll go and update the book. It is liars who do that. Or they put something and tell you that, oh, I'll keep updating. Why do you think that when you go to school and you are presenting your project, they don't accept just a soft copy? Because they want you to have a right. You have to print it, publish it for them to hold it, to see a solid copy, so that you cannot go around and then be changing it later.
Now let's bring you that statement from the team of the performance tracker. There you have it on your screen, and it reads, following the successful launch of the performance tracker, government expresses gratitude for the remarkable interest and scrutiny from citizens. This level of engagement demonstrates the public's commitment to ensuring the accuracy and integrity of the information provided. And so that is from the team there. And it goes on to say, within 48 hours following the launch, our attention has been drawn to 67 entries which were erroneously included. These have been corrected. Our attention has also been drawn to some 74 projects which should have been included, as they had been concluded by June 2023. These have also been included. And it adds that, as announced at the launch, the tracker is being continuously updated to provide a live and accurate record of the performance of the government of Ghana. We thank the public for the feedback and collaboration. So that's from the team managing the tracker. And we got this from this WhatsApp number you have on your screen and signed by the team there. But away from the story, Professor of Political Marketing, Kobi Mensah, says Vice President Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia's position on LGBTQ rights in Ghana is contradictory to that of his boss, President Akufo-Addo. The vice president, in an address to Muslims during the Eid celebration in Kumasi on Thursday, declared that homosexual practices will not be allowed in Ghana if he is elected as president. By reacting to
the Holy Quran is replete with verses frowning on LGBTQ acts, including same-sex marriages. My faith is therefore very strictly against the practice of homosexuality. Allahu Akbar. No ifs or buts, no shades of gray. All the major religious traditions in Ghana, Christianity and Islam, are opposed to this practice. And I stand opposed to it now, and I will stand opposed to it as president, inshallah.
The vice president, however, reiterated his and the government's commitment for inclusivity in diversity for the nation.
For us in Ghana, our diversity is more telling in our ethnic backgrounds and religious beliefs, and we have remarkably held firmly together as one people over the years, in spite of the threat and bigotry of some overzealous individuals and groups.
But reacting to this comment, Professor Kobe Menson said the stance of the NPP flag bearer does not align with that of the president, although it must be emphasized that President Akufo-Addo has not publicly expressed a view on the issue yet. Professor Mensah also argues that the declaration by the vice president is late in coming.
Knew, you know, beforehand that certainly this is not something that, you know, Dr. Baumia would support LGBTQ. And so he would firmly support the bill. And that was expectation. But expectation itself would not take the issue away. They would want an explicit, you know, proclamation from the vice president. But he lost the opportunity. Time is currency. And in communication, once the moment is right, that is when you have to make the statement. He lost that position. He made people create a lot of assumptions. And he complicated his issue by the president coming out to say that I would not actually assent to this particular bill. Then he was in a bad state because voicing it out would become contradictory to his, you know, government position, because the president embodies the government position. The president, to a very large extent, embodies the party's position. Now your president comes and says, I would not assent to this. He hasn't said that he supports LGBTQ. He hasn't said that, you know, he actually want LGBTQ. And of course, by extension, you can say that once the vice president, who is a Muslim, is likely to abhor it, is likely to not to support LGBTQ. Christians also don't support LGBTQ. But the president, having said that he will not assent to it, somehow put it in a position that perhaps he supports it. And that makes Dr. Baumia's position much more difficult.
But in a sharp rebuttal, communications director for Dr. Baumia's campaign, Dennis Miracles Abuaji, described the analysis by Professor Kobe Menson as politically tainted, insisting there was no timeline for the vice president to make his position on the matter.
Who gave the timeline? Who set him? Who gave the timeline? Who set the timeline? If we had a timeline set from the beginning, then we can have that conversation. I mean, Professor Mensah, anybody listening knows it's not coming from an objective perspective. But who gave the timeline?
Who is not coming from an objective perspective?
Professor Mensah.
Why?
There's no doubt about that.
Why?
Let's not go into that, but there's no doubt about that.
But I have to be fair to him.
No, I'm telling you.
He's on the other end. I can't just let you say that and move. Why do you say that?
No, his position, especially when it comes to issues of Dr. Mahmoud Bami and the MPP, it's there, public. It's there. Go to his tweet. It's public. There's no doubt about that. He himself is not denying that. So, I mean, that's a fact, that he's not coming from an objective perspective when there are issues that have to do with the MPP.
No, Bishop of the Methodist Church, Ghana, Most Reverend Dr. Paul Boafo, in the latest government, clerk to parliament, has responded to the presidency's letter asking him to cease and desist from any attempt to send copies of the controversial Human Sexual Rights and Family Values Bill to the president.
Ghanaians are now aware of what is good for us. And so, if we are talking about the values and what identifies us and what makes us unique as a people, and you want to destroy it, Ghanaians will not be happy with it. Especially Christians, we will not be happy with it, because the sanctity of family is at stake, and we need to guard. We need to guard it. There are other factors that also come into play: the economy, our finances, our social and all employment, youth, right, education, health, and all that. We are not saying that it is just LGBTQ that is going to stand. There are other factors, but LGBTQ and how the party comes out very clear on it will also guide in people making their choice.
Now, Joy News and Sekondi Takoradi Metropolitan Assembly Operation Clean Your Surrounding campaign has closed down an illegal water production company at Ntankofo, a community within the Sekondi Takoradi metropolis, for operating under unsanitary conditions and illegally. Listen to Abdul Karim Hudu, who is the environmental officer of the Sekondi Takoradi Municipal Assembly, cautioning the public to be careful of the water they consume.
We started the operation Clean Your Surroundings. We've come to Eskadu Submetro. Our first point of call is at a water producing center. Yes. When we came here, or as we are standing here, there are three workers there. They don't have medical screening certificates, and they produce the water. They don't have Food and Drugs Authority certificate. They don't have suitability reports from environmental. And the last one is that they don't have a refuse container to put their refuse inside and then join the door-to-door services. That is why we have closed the water treatment center. So unless he comes to pay the fine before we come and close it, he will put everything in order before we can open it for him. So that's the reason why we've closed it. General public, we have to be cautious of people who produce water. Yes. Even this one, when you go inside, when you buy essential water, look at the label, whether Food and Drugs Authority number is on it. Because we do join instruction. They have to consult us. Make sure the medical screening is done to the office, those who are producing it, before they also issue their certificate. And they know, but I'm sure they are not aware of this, like they also close it down. So the public should be aware of the illegal operation water, such a water producer. This one is illegally producing the water. In the second place, BOP, I don't think they pay. They don't pay. And they are not registered with assembly. So their nuisances or their pollutants are many. That's why we close it.
Away from that story, Dr. Hene Safo, a project coordinator for Greater Accra Resilient and Integrated Development Project, GARID, in a meeting with the Minister of Works and Housing together with other stakeholders earlier today, announced the measure being taken to curb perennial floods in the rainy season. He listed a number of contracts awarded and their various destinations.
Consultants have been commissioned and undertaking various designs in order that we can provide some engineering solutions to the perennial flooding that afflicts the Odo catchment. Since last year, contracts have been awarded for a number of the interventions, even as we also make progress in concluding designs on other remaining works. As we have awarded contracts for the dredging of the Odo under a new framework called the Performance-Based Contracting Approach to Dredging. and the contractor is on site and carrying out the dredging activities. We have also awarded a contract for the repairs and widening of the broken sections of the Odo channel from the Achimota overhead all the way to the N1 overhead. We have awarded a contract for the reconstruction of the drain from Nima Paloma on the Ringway Ring Road all the way to the pedestrian mall outlet or outfall in the Odo channel. We have awarded contracts for the upgrading of sections of the Alubushi community where our designs had actually identified them to continue to suffer perennial flooding in spite of the major intervention we would have undertaken. And the analysis showed that those communities lack basic infrastructure, drainage infrastructure in particular, plus other basic services. And so there's a contract, two contracts being undertaken in Alubushi that would improve the stormwater drain as well as the local drains, pedestrian accessways, vehicular accessways, extension of the water network, as well as street lighting. Similarly, we have another intervention at Akweteman that suffers the same conditions as Alubushi. And we'll do similar interventions of stormwater improvement, local drains, vehicular improvements, pedestrian access improvements, water supply.
Also, the Minister for Works and Housing, Kojo Opon-Kroma, admits that the projects are not going as fast as they should. However, the compensation of the project affected persons have been secured. Also, when the compensation of the project affected persons is paid, the project zones will be secured to prevent the people from returning to the site.
It's fair for us to first of all say that the project is not moving as quickly as we had all initially expected, right from the project design stage. And this has been due to a number of factors. Some of those factors include the review processes and mechanisms that were put in the, initial framework that required about a two-step review for every work before it is executed. The fact that compensation even for project affected persons were not initially envisaged in the funding arrangements that were made. And then some other intervening matters where part of the funding was also moved for other purposes, etc. So it's become difficult to commit to other projects, especially as the World Bank specification is that if you don't have the funding, you can't commit. So we understand the reasons for...
Now, outgoing Upper West Regional Minister, Dr. Hafiz Bin Sali, has appealed to the leadership of the various Muslim sects in the country to eschew all forms of fundamentalism and extremism in order not to allow agents of destruction to infiltrate their ranks. Rafiq Salam had the rest of the story.
Certain of the crescent on Tuesday brought to an end this year's fasting in the holy month of Ramadan in the country. During this period, the Muslims did not only abstain from taking food or drinking water, but also refrain from all forms of social vices and nefarious activities.
Both the young and the old, including persons who have mobility challenges, were wheeled to the Jujiri class of school's gardens for the 2 rakat open congregational prayer. Upper West Regional Missionary of the Ahmadiyya Movement in Islam, Maulvi Muzaffar Chaudhry Masroor Ahmed, led the prayer.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
He followed it up with the Eid sermon where he spoke about the importance of the holy month of Ramadan.
So if we are able to follow the teachings of the Holy Quran, we can see that there will be peace in the whole world. So that was the message from our worldwide Khalifa. So I emphasize on this point that if we are going to take step by step the teachings of the Holy Quran in our practical life, then we can achieve our month of Ramadan's exercise and we can really celebrate the Eid al-Fitr.
Turning to electoral violence, Maulvi Muzaffar Masroor Ahmed noted that Islam is a peaceful religion and so too are its followers. He is, however, deeply worried to the marrow when names of some Muslims pop up on issues in electoral violence, giving the religion a bad name. He therefore called on Muslim youth in the country not to allow themselves to be used as tools to foment trouble during the electioneering period.
We Muslims should be the peaceful Muslims to create the peace into the country. So when I hear this thing that Muslims, they are spreading the hate or the violence in the country, I'm so sorry. But if we are able to implement the teachings of the Holy Quran in our practical lives, I think that there will be peace. And our Muslim people, when they will also listen to me, I'm hopeful that they can be very peaceful and they will also guide to the people to remain peaceful for the country.
Our going opposition minister, Dr. Hafiz bin Sali, was also present at the garden. His grandfather, Imam bin Sali, laid the foundation stone for the Amumbe movement in the Wale enclave some 90 years ago.
Now, the Central Regional Minister, Jacinta Marigold-Hassan, is appealing to Muslims and youth across the country not to allow themselves to be used by politicians to foment trouble in this electioneering year. Speaking of this year's Eid celebration, the minister entreated the celebrant to unite and live in harmony with their neighbors. There's more in the following report.
The Muslim faithful in Kipkos assembled at various prayer grounds to offer prayers to Allah for guiding and protecting them throughout their 30-day prayers and fasting. Addressing the celebrant, Central Regional Minister Jacinta Marigold-Hassan called on the Muslims to help sustain the peace the country enjoys. She particularly warned the Muslim youth to guard against anything that will make them agents of violence. Where there is violence, there is no development. Where violence thrives, marriage cannot even thrive. And where there is no peace, politics cannot also thrive. This is an election year. We must do everything to protect the sanctity and the peace we have in the country. We should not see each other as enemies. You should not allow any politician to use you for their selfish gains. I know the security personnel are up to the task to help in providing security. The vice president has indicated to me that it wouldn't be long, he will come and engage you himself.
His Excellency Alhaji Mahmudu Baumia.
The head of the regional Zongo chiefs, Chief Mahmud Dande Mazawaje, called for peace in this year's election.
The good old message is that we maintain peace, especially during this election year. With regard to the people of Cape Coast, or for that matter, Santa region, we are known for conducting peaceful elections. And I just spoke to my people that we should maintain that prestige. We are always known for peaceful election. And in this case, even the whole Ghana, we have to make sure that we maintain peace. It's a matter of respecting each other's view. As simple as that. We respect each other. Even if I have a message for the government with regard to the economy, I think we put people in place. We give them that mandate to work it out for us in order that our economy will be good. We are looking forward to them.
The Muslim prayers were said and Allah's blessings and protections were sought by the celebrants.
Now, former Pro Vice Chancellor of the University of Cape Coast, Professor Francis Kadura Edubuando, has questioned the use of unparliamentary language in Ghana's parliament. According to her, the language used in parliament leaves much to be desired, and something must be done to protect the sanctity of Ghana's parliament discourse or parliamentary discourse. Now, speaking at her inaugural lecture at the University of Cape Coast, Professor Edubuando also indicated Ghana is heading towards ethno-linguistic identity crisis. There's more in the following report.
Professor Dora Francesca Edubuando's inaugural lecture first put a spotlight on parliamentary discourse. Here are the findings of her research.
Our findings included that the use of unparliamentary language bordered on impoliteness because the language used questioned the integrity and credibility of MPs affected. It imputed intellectual weakness in their person, and we also found untruth, deception, and criminality in their personalities. Karl Popper, Holmes, Mara, and Schnorr say that when you behave like this, you are being impolite. Unparliamentary discourses of our times have obscenities, provocative or threatening language, personal attacks, and insults. And we can describe them as being offensive, abusive, and insulting. And sometimes it even clouds the discussion on the table, discussion on the floor, because people get angry, they insult, and others get angry, and the issue for discussion is lost. Our parliament has become such that the unparliamentary discourse in the discourse of our times have gone so bad that the speaker himself had to use unparliamentary language to caution the use of unparliamentary discourse by referring to the parliamentarians as if they are in the market or chobba. That is unparliamentary discourse in itself. But the speaker had to use unparliamentary discourse to caution unparliamentary discourse. Doctor, if you know the norms of language use, you will not engage in discourse that will demand that you come back later to say, oh, it was just a joke. If it's a joke, you should all say that it's a joke. Or to say that, oh, I didn't mean to say that. It is just what you meant. So next time somebody tells you that, oh, I don't mean to insult you, that's exactly what the person wanted to do. Doctor, the norms of respect, courtesy, and others, I wouldn't have time to cover in this lecture.
This is Still Joy News today with me, Carlos Caloni. We'll take a short break. We'll return with business. Please stay with us.
Across Africa, a new era has begun. Shifting our focus to a new horizon, connecting us with one purpose: to create and share opportunities to grow. Brighter tomorrow, built by our dreams and our energy. Across our continent, across the world, we are creating a better way to a better future. A Pan-African future, together. Ecobank, a better way, a better Africa.
Daddy, this tank is big!
Yes, that's true.
It can store a lot of water.
That's so true.
Wow, it has a walking tortoise on it.
Mm-hmm, that's so true.
I can see S-I-N-T-E-X, syntax.
That is so true, my daughter.
When it falls down, it will spoil.
That's not true.
But why?
Hey!
Syntex was the first to introduce double layer tanks in Ghana. Syntex again was the first to introduce white inner layers in Ghana. Syntex gives you the biggest warranty, 7 years. No matter your water needs, Syntex is the answer. Syntex Tank. Are you strong? Are you tough?
Welcome to the business segment on Joy News Today with me, Emma Davis. As part of measures aimed at increasing farmers' productivity and efficiency and boost the cashew trade by improving harvest and post-harvest techniques for farmers in the cashew industry, the Cultivating New Frontiers in Agriculture has implemented its five-year PRO cashew development program in the West African cashew sector. The move, according to the country representative of the program, Eric Bote, is targeted at improving the income of cashew growers in the implementing areas by providing them with alternative sources of income. Anas Sabit has more.
The five-year USDA West Africa Pro Cashew Development Program was implemented by Cultivating New Frontiers in Africa and with the sole aim of increasing farmers' productivity and efficiency and boosting the cashew trade by improving harvest and post-harvest techniques, as well as supplying chain linkages between farmers and agri-foods companies in the five intervention countries. The program, which is in its fifth and final year, is today highlighting the outcomes and impacts of the activities undertaken over the past 5 years. Eric Heno Botry is the Ghana country representative of the USDA West Africa Pro Cashew Project.
The West African Pro Cashew Project is working in five countries. That's Ghana, Benin, Burkina, Cote d'Ivoire, and Nigeria. And for we those in Ghana, the mandate is to support to increase cashew production and then improve quality. And we work through the Department of Agriculture with the support of Ministry of Agri and other collaborating partners like 3CDA and then the Cocoa Research Institute of Ghana.
The project also seeks to support these cashew farmers through renovation and rehabilitation of their farms to boost quality and productivity.
Purpose is to make sure that cashew farmers are able to get more yield and then also get more quality and also more money. All is to alleviate poverty and also make sure farmers have a good life and well-being for themselves and their family.
Eric also noted that these beneficiary farmers were also taken through other alternative farming methods, which includes intercropping and beekeeping. This, he said, was to help provide them with other source of funds to complement seasons where they fail to have good cashew harvests.
We are also coming to supplement and complement what the government of Ghana is doing. That's what ProCashew is here to support. And so we take farmers to renovation and rehabilitation. When we say renovation and rehabilitation, we mean that there are old cashew farms which are no more fruiting. And so we have to bring in new techniques of how to prune and give better qualities to these trees to start fruiting again. So these are some of the trainings we give.
Kipo Memuna works with the Ministry of Food and Agriculture in the Sola Tuna Kalba district. She has been working with the Pro Cashew Project since its implementation 5 years ago. Mimuna tells me the project has been beneficial to farmers within her district, adding that she has equally benefited from the various trainings implemented by Pro Cashew.
This project has been beneficial to me, especially because I've learned a lot on cashew production from Pro Cashew, from new establishment, how to land preparation to post-harvest and marketing. I've learned a lot, and I think the farmers are also benefiting from it.
Another beneficiary of the project, a farmer in the Bole Bamboi district, narrates how the new project helped in the prevention of bushfires in the area.
I'm very thankful to ProCashew because they have already bring a lot of impact to my life and to other farmers within that area. Because ProCashew has helped our farms this year to have low fire burn outage. I can say that most of our farms couldn't burn this year because of the training they have given to us.
Municipal Director of Agriculture for Tano North, Godfred Ezena, on his part, lauded the project, which he says helped in the growth of cashew in the district, but was quick to appeal for its continuity to enable more farmers benefit from the project.
I think once full cashew is in, it has really helped most of my farmers, and I would like it to continue, which is going to help my farmers in the district.
Also present at the event are key stakeholders in the cashew value chain, including representatives from the Ministry of Food and Agriculture. Anna Sabit, Joy News, Sunyani.
Chief Executive of the Ghana Enterprises Agency, Kosiyanki Ayeb, believes its partnership with Ghana Post will help enhance the competitiveness of Ghanaian businesses. The Ghana Enterprises Agency and Ghana Post have entered into a mutual agreement to support micro, small and medium enterprises with market access for their goods and services. The collaboration forms part of the Ghana Enterprises Agency's initiative to support the small businesses to enter major markets globally.
That through the strategic partnership, we can harness our synergies to create new opportunities to expand access to markets and enhance the competitiveness of Ghanaian businesses. And why is access to markets very important for us in this new project? It's really so important because we realize that over the years, people produce things and really finding markets is quite difficult. We've also realized the importance of the e-commerce platform and tools. So you have people who are on various e-commerce portals, and how to get their products from one point to another is really a question that is coming up. And we believe that once we build the strong partnership together, we can work on both fronts. In with the new things, which is e-commerce delivery service, and the second is also really looking at utilizing your facility to create the access to markets for the beneficiaries of our program. So thank you very much for coming.
Online.com. I am Emma Davis. GN Today continues. Please stay.
By the end of the 4 years of my term in office as president, Accra will be the cleanest city in Africa.
Our rivers are choked. Our streets are hoarding it. Our landfills bursting. Our trash bags overflowing. And even the air we breathe carries it. Filth, it is everywhere.
Normally, there is a container here where they put the baller inside. But right now, they haven't brought the container back.
The Filth Exhibition, a Joy News series, presents the alarming state of waste management, sanitation, and refuse left in our communities, presenting a compelling and urgent need for action.
Was young, I asked my mother the secret of her vitality and health. She said, the right food, the right exercise, the right amount of sleep, and the right blood tonic. Nescafé Blood Tonic is effective for the treatment of anemia, lack of appetite, and stressful conditions in both adults and children.
Nescafé Blood Tonic, the right family blood tonic. Another quality product from Ernest Chemists. This advertisement has been vetted and approved by the FDA.
Let's bring sports here on Joy News today with me, Muftau Nabilah.
Abdullahi, the Minister of Youth and Sports, Mustafa Youssef, has called on communities that will be participating in this year's Ramadan Cup to present players who will be given opportunity of having a career in football. According to him, there will be scouts available during this year's Ramadan Cup to unearth talents and give them opportunities to ply their trade to the highest level. Though the competition is meant to build unity among communities, it also serves as a platform for young talents to be identified.
Everyone is trying to qualify for the Olympics, and having achieved this height, like a new PR, it's like I'm starting from here, then next week I go here. So it's like we're going back to the drawing board.
But for the Ramadan Cup, I could not have imagined seeing the National Chief Imam kick a football or at a stadium. And the Ramadan Cup managed to pull all the legendary Abedi Pele, who is rarely seen at matches, to the competition. It was a pleasure sitting side by side with the great Abedi Pele, the National Chief Imam, together with community members for the Ramadan Cup. Community football is a powerful tool for social cohesion at the local level, and this is what the Ramadan Cup have achieved through the vision and its objectives. These values are shared by the Ministry of Youth and Sports, as promoting community sports is at the heart of our core objective. Sports promotion and for that matter, sports development start at the community level, and encouraging participating in community sports is to encourage the development of our games right at the grassroots. It is in the pursuit of this that our government has invested massively in the development of community facilities throughout the country. And as we speak, we have over 150 AstroTurf in our various communities across the country. Indeed, the Sheikh Sharutu complex at the Fadama, where the tournament is being hosted, is one of such facilities built by our government. We will continue to promote community sports by investing in more sports infrastructure for both sports and recreational purposes. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, one interesting aspect of the Ramadan Cup is the array of young talent and the display. However, as I said last year, I also see players who should probably have been given opportunities to more young people to showcase their talents.
And to the African Games 2023, where Cardman Evans Yamua did a jump of 2.23 meters to win a gold medal in the competition. Currently, he's African champion, but yes, to secure qualification to Olympic Games that will be happening in Paris later this year. He says his target is to secure qualification to the competition.
Resetting our mind, rechanneling our focus. Those 215 bars, 216 bars, we are not focusing on that again. We are going to start practicing with the 225s, 235. So if I hadn't have achieved the 223, probably 221 would have been my mark. That's where I'll start my dance from. So 223, it's like an opening height for me now. It's another achievement, so I need to build on. I don't have to be like reluctant and stay at 223. Then we are in outdoor season, if you've noticed. So 223 should be, as I said, like a stepping stone. So more to come.
That's your sports for now. We do have more sports stories on myjoyonline.com. We appreciate your time.
Every
Everything has a meaning.
If you recklessly and maliciously destroy reputations, you must suffer the lawful consequences.
For every story, there are many versions of what is true.
If you compare last year, which is 2,589 deaths, added to this year, we've already passed 3,000 deaths in 15 months.
Every opinion can be debated. The political construct of the national interest can be interrogated.
You cannot call for abolition of the Fourth Republic in the name of seeking constitutional reform.
But some facts are hidden in the depths of interpretation.
Is Alma too for the Christmas that he'll give you vaccines to 80,000 and not receive payment?
So we check the facts.
The truth is that we are in the third wave. I don't think we should kid ourselves that, oh, maybe it's about coming in and all that. It is here.
Raise the standards of intellectual discourse and present the issues on the altar of unbiased scrutiny. This altar is Newsfile, your most authoritative news analysis program.
We must practice independent, credible, and fearless journalism.
Newsfile with Samson Ladia Yenini.
To God. Truly grateful for my mother and my father, who were very instrumental in shaping the person that I am today. My father used to do sound in our church. My mother was a worship leader. I think what I've noticed in the Ghanaian music industry is that most of the people who are in the industry have other jobs that they do, whereas with South Africa our industry is actually quite strong in the sense that you're able to do music and music alone. When you make a decision to step out and be on your own, your intentions will be tested. Are you doing this for the right reasons? And I truly believe that, as scripture says, that the testing of our faith produced patience within us. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Showbiz segment with me, Jacqueline Ansuma Yeboah. The Actors Guild of Nigeria has announced the suspension of all film productions involving riverine areas and boat rides following the tragic boat incident that claimed the life of Nollywood actor Junior Pope and three other crew members.
Nollywood actor Junior Pope Odowundu, popularly called Junior Pope, has tragically died following a boat accident while returning from a movie set. The boat capsized and he, alongside two other yet-to-be-identified actors, got drowned. His body was recovered and rushed to the hospital, where he was confirmed dead. Following this tragic incident, the Actors Guild of Nigeria, AGN, has announced the suspension of all film productions involving riverine areas and boat rides. It also declared Thursday no shoot day for all Nollywood filmmakers following the deaths of actor Junior Pope and three other crew members who died in a boat mishap on Anam River in Anambra State on Wednesday. Emeka Rollas, national president of AGN, said in a statement on Thursday that this happened on a movie set titled The Other Side of Life, produced by Adama Luke. Also, the statement says, no actor is allowed to work with Adama Luke as producer till further notice, while we keep searching for the bodies of remaining persons.
Good night, huh? Whoa. This one had a hit under. You don't go boss, Abi. Swag Nation, the life.
Oh, bye. Well, in the latest development, controversial cross-dresser Idris Olarewaju Okuneye, popularly known as Bob Risky, has been sentenced to 6 months imprisonment without an option for fine for abusing the Nigerian currency Naira. Justice Abimola of the Federal High Court Lagos, in her sentence, says that the judgment will serve as a deterrent to others who are fond of abusing and mutilating the Naira. Now, before the sentence, the judge asked Bob Risky about his sex, and he quickly replied that he is a man. Now, Kora Obidi, a popular Nigerian singer and dancer, has revealed how she was attacked with knife and acid while on live streaming. Now, the attack, the mother of two said that it happened in the United Kingdom, and in a post she shared on Instagram on Thursday, says that the attacker was a black woman that is 5 foot tall and stressed that she has been a target of hateful remarks in the past. Noting that a physical assault is a wake-up call, she disclosed this via her Instagram page yesterday. That's all for the showbiz segments with me, Jacqueline Ansuma Yeboah.
Now, before we go, world news, where Liberia's House of Representatives is investigating how former President George Weah's asset declaration documents were leaked to the public. All senior government officials in the country, including President, are mandated to declare their wealth upon taking office in the country, Liberia. Now, anti-commission corruption organization in that country is stated it is meant to ensure public officials avoid conflict of interest and illicit wealth accumulation, but it is not mandatory for such declaration to be made public. The former president's asset declaration document are said to have been leaked to the public without his consent. And quote, Weah's asset declaration form is now all in the public space and on various platforms, Frank Sa Foku, a local legislator, said. And that's all we have in this hour. You can log on to myjoyonline.com for more stories. My name is Carlos Galoni. Thank you so much for watching. Have a great afternoon.
Without authority, also commit an offense.
When it comes to law, their skills have to differ.
Welcome to the law. This is your legal light. It is your help law. I'm Samson Ladia Yanini.
Every landlord of what the law demands that the maximum rent advance you should take should be 6 months.
Dive into the lives of extraordinary individuals who have achieved unparalleled success in their fields. From groundbreaking academics to legal luminaries and visionary leaders and entrepreneurs, the legends who have seen it all and shaped the very fabric of our society.
We are living on borrowed values, borrowed whatever our ancestors said. Borrowed water never quenches thirst.
Hear their stories, learn from their experiences, and get inspired by their wisdom as they share insights that are both enlightening and transformative.
I'm told that these days, the election is all about who gives you most money.
What do you think about that?
Well, it wasn't like that in the early days. It was not like that. But then I suppose it's because of hard times.
I would like to see more honesty, not only in our rulers, but also among us the rude.
On the message I'm giving your generation,